Good morning. Good to see you this morning. What is a quintessential Cornish barbecue? I mean, rain. Well, I'm hoping there's a bit of meat involved as well and things like that. Fancy a bit of that. That's great. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it great to be in Jesus' presence, to spend like 40 minutes or something, or half an hour, whatever, just worshipping Jesus? You know, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Let's just be quiet and conscious of his presence right now in the room. Jesus, we don't want to stop worshipping you. All those things we've been expressing in song, Lord, they were to you. We love you, Lord. What an amazing God you are. All that you've done for us. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Even in these moments, Lord, just bring more focus on all that you've done for us. Whatever else you might want to do this morning, and we really do want to be open to everything you want. The thing we do specifically ask for is that we would fall more in love with you, Jesus. We'd be more amazed by you. We would worship you more. Be a people who are absolutely in love with you, Jesus. We want our lives to revolve around you, because all of creation revolves around you. So we're only just getting in step with that. Come and be with us. Thank you the way that you know every single person here. As we heard earlier, you love every single person here. Isn't that amazing? We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But you still love us. You're relentless in your love for us. Undeserved. Your mercy is inexhaustible, Lord. You're just such a great God. Thank you that you have the ability to know exactly what we need. And you know every heart here, so we know. Lord, we ask you, will you speak to every heart? Holy Spirit, take your word and apply it just as it needs to every heart, as well as collectively to us, Lord. We pray this for your name's sake, Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been going through Jonah, and actually there's been a bit of a three-week gap. So, and of course some of you might not have even heard any of this stuff so far anyway, so a bit of a recap wouldn't do any harm. Jonah is a book in the Old Testament. Actually, it's a classic Sunday school story, isn't it? And it's a short book in the Old Testament, and Jonah was a prophet. He lived around 750-ish BC. He lived in the time of Jeroboam II, who was a pretty bad king, to say the least. And so it wasn't a great time in Israel's history. And right at the very beginning of Jonah, the book of Jonah, which is only four chapters, we're going to look at chapter 2 today. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to that. But it will come up on the screen, if I can operate this thing. The first verse says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Now the Ninevites, this place that Jonah's been sent to by God, is the brutal capital of the ancient Assyrian Empire. It's located on the Tigris River in modern-day Iraq. And they were bitter enemies of Israel. So Jonah, the prophet of Israel, is being sent right into the heart of the enemy. And they were notorious oppressors of Israel. They were extremely brutal. There was torture, there was slaughter, there was oppression. I wouldn't even go into details of all the kind of stuff they did to the Israelites. It's like Jonah being sent to preach into the heart of ISIS or something like that. It's like the Ukrainians being sent into Russia, or the Palestinian Christians sent into Israeli settlers. You just don't want to do it, do you? I mean, that's the last place you want to go. So we are harsh on Jonah, and to be honest, he doesn't come out too great. But actually, let's bear in mind what he's been asked to do. And what does he do? He runs away. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, if you were here 3 or 4 weeks ago, Matt was talking out that Tarshish was almost certainly in Spain. So that's completely the opposite direction. Though, it would be fair to say, if you were to delve into the very deepest parts of the internet, there are some people who hold the theory that Tarshish was in Cornwall. Well, it wouldn't be the first place that someone's running away from themselves. Now, I am not saying that it is Tarshish. And you can spend hours this week delving into the depths. But you never know. Could be. But it's probably a load of rubbish. Anyway, so he gets in this boat, opposite direction, huge, great storm. Jonah realizes that the storm sent, that God sent the storm because of his disobedience. And he realizes that his disobedience is putting other lives at risk. Now, he didn't really care too much, but the sailors who are at risk, along with Jonah, who doesn't seem to care too much about his life at this point, The sailors come to him like, what is going on, please? And Jonah thinks, oh, okay, chuck me overboard. Now, the sailors, actually, they come out quite well. In fact, the person who comes out worse out of the book of Jonah is Jonah. So the sailors actually do quite good. And they're very reluctant to throw him overboard. They don't want to be responsible for the death of a man who's they probably paid him board for the boat. But after much toing and froing, they shove Jonah over the side of the boat. And it works. The storm. Brilliant. Amazing. Well, not so good for Jonah, but then he brought it on himself, didn't it? So let's start at the last verse of Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. And then we'll read chapter 2. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very hearts of the sea, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. Now, actually, Jonah would have read the Psalms, which are in the middle of the Old Testament. And this is very like a psalm. This chapter 2 is a psalm. It's like a song. And in fact, it's very like an amalgamation of Psalm 18 and Psalm 42 in particular. But bits of Psalms are all... You read it. We read it. This bloke 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, read it as well. And it's speaking to him and it speaks to us today, the Psalms do. Continuing in verse 6. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. He's actually doing reasonably well at this moment, Jonah, in a sea of not doing very well. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. He remembers God's love. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Amen. It's the theme of the book. salvation comes from the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, there are three things I believe God wants to say to us this morning. Verse 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. If you are in distress, if your life is not going well, do what Jonah did. Call out for help from the Lord. In your distress. Now you might think, well, I'm not in distress right now. Well, I've got news for you. One day you will. I'm serious. And when you are in distress, well, I would say at all times, but especially when you're in distress, call out to the Lord for help. In fact, Jesus was very clear. He told his followers, in this world, you will have trouble. So it's promised by Jesus. Jesus is always telling the truth. He says, you, every single one of you, me included, will go through seasons where it's really tough. In those tough times, call out to the Lord. Maybe you are facing distress right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to call out to the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe no one knows what's going on in your life but you, except the Lord. Call out to the Lord in distress. In distress, and this has been said before, I've seen many people, I'm an old man of 64 next week. That's not a plug for birthday presents, by the way, or cards. I've seen a lot of people, when distress comes, they run away from God. But when you are in distress, and I've known moments of distress, if you run to the Lord, don't do what others do. Run to the Lord, not run away from him in difficult times. That's when you get to know him, in my experience, the best. I remember, it was probably about 2014. I had some of you will know this, but a lot of you probably won't. I had some sort of breakdown. I had chest pains. I ended up in the back of an ambulance. And they had to, check me over at Trelisk. And actually, it turned out it was stress. I'd been burning the candle both ends for too long. The result of it, having had time off work, then more time off work, then more time off work, is the end, I lost my job. I couldn't, well, they didn't lose it. I had to hand in my notice because I just couldn't go back. I couldn't work. And I was still, I couldn't sleep very well. A lot of the things that had gone, that I'd assumed were now going to be part of my life from now on were taken away. It was a really tough time. I remember it was November and it was probably 2015. I remember lying in bed. It was 2 a.m. I had chest pains again. Now, I'd had my heart checked, so I wasn't needing to go to the hospital. But it was just like the physical and the mental and the spiritual and the emotional, all those things collect. But I felt pain in my chest. I was feeling uncomfortable. And I went downstairs to my room downstairs. We were living in Newquay at the time. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. Now, he didn't fix things then and there. I still had pain. I still had no job. I still had an uncertain future. But he came. In my distress, he came. Still had the pain, but I had God. So close. I wanted it to stop, the pain and the distress and all that kind of stuff. But when he's in with us, in the distress, there's this curious thing that happens. You kind of don't want it to stop because you think, if it goes back to normal, I might not know him so close. But I do want it to stop. I'm in two minds here, but he's so close in distress when we call out to him. I called to the Lord and he answered me. I called for help, Jonah says, and you listened to my cry. Verse 7, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. As I said, I'm going to give an opportunity for people to call out to God at the end. And in verse 9, and I've already said this before, Jonah declares the main theme of the book, salvation comes from the Lord. It didn't come from anyone else or anywhere else. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's what we've been singing about for the last 40 minutes. And immediately, that's verse 9, and immediately Jonah illustrates that salvation does come from the Lord. The Lord commanded in verse 10 the fish to vomit him onto dry land. I mean, he's in this fish for 3 days. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. And then suddenly he's on the beach. He could have been vomited anywhere, but he got vomited on the beach. It's like God said, I've still got you. I've still got a plan for your life. He's smelly, bit bedraggled or whatever it is. Jonah is all about salvation. God saves the sailors of the ship from the storm in chapter 1. God sends the fish, however unpleasant, and it saves Jonah from drowning. The fish, God tells the fish to deliver Jonah to the beach. God restores Jonah to his purpose. God goes to extraordinary lengths to rescue people. I want to tell you about a story. And this is probably, I mean, I just think this is possibly the most amazing miracle I ever saw in my entire life. It was summer 1998. And it involved my 6-year-old daughter, India, my former brother-in-law, Chris, and a balloon. Actually, let me tell you about Chris. Chris was my brother-in-law. He was married to my eldest sister. And he was a big part of me when I was, you know, a child and a teenager. Do you know what I mean? And I like Chris. Married my sister Heather, my eldest sister. I got loads of them. And then he had 4 kids, and they were part of our church. They were part of the church community. He was a Christian. And then Chris got a job in the Midlands, so he moved up to sort of North Hants, Bedfordshire area. And so the family moved up there. Unfortunately, Chris was a bit of a drinker. And Chris began to drink a lot of alcohol. And alcohol took over his life. And he became a hopeless alcoholic. In the end, the marriage broke down. The family was separated. It was just very difficult. And that was probably in the late 80s. Skip forward to 1998. We're living in Woking, my wife and I, and we've got 4 kids by then, maybe 5. And I'm still trying to count them. I'm not going to have any more, that's all right, that's for sure. And there was a church, we were part of the church, big church, called the Coin Church in Woking, and they had a fun day. And it was right at the park, right near our house. So we thought, great. So it was a Saturday morning, beautiful day. So we thought, right, we'll go down to the park and we'll have a fun day with the church. There was loads of people from the church, all the community were there. It was great. And they had one of these things where, you know, those helium balloons that they have at fetes and things like that, where they attach a label to it. You put your name on it, they release the helium and it goes up in the air. And then the one that, and it's got connections and all the details on the label. And then whoever goes the furthest gets a prize. So they had one of those. So our little India, who's 6 at the time, she said, can I have one of the balloons? And we went, yeah, of course you can. So we went over to the store where they had the balloons, and they filled it with helium, and India wrote on the card. Now, the label had on one side Coin Church, and it had the church address. If you receive this, send it back to Coin Church, blah, 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 and say where you're from. And then on the other side, it had name, dot, 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 dot. So India wrote in her little writing, India Bunce, and our address, 50 Courtney Road, Woking, GU21, 5HQ. I remember that. I'd actually... Yeah, that's amazing. So she got the balloon, tied it up, and all this kind of stuff. A very exciting moment. She held the balloon in her hand. Big moment. lets it go into the tree. Oh, I don't know whether it cost 50p, but it was 50p. It was a wasted 50p. Great. So she's a bit upset. But it's a fun day. There's loads of great things going on. So we can go and do all the other stuff. So we're kind of distracted from the fact that it was still in the tree. So there we are. And this is a Saturday morning, beautiful day. And then we go back for lunch, which is just around the corner. And then we go back in the afternoon. And then in the evening, of course, this is before mobile phones, my landline phone rings up. And I pick up the phone. I say, hello, it's Jeremy Bunce. He said, it's Chris. I'm like, what, Chris Wells? Yeah. He said, I've got India's balloon. And I said, no, you haven't. It's in a tree. He said, no, it isn't. I have got the balloon. And I'm like, no, Chris, it's in a tree. He said, well, he must have blown out of the tree. I've got the balloon. He said, have you got a fax machine? I said, I haven't got a fax machine. I said, well, he said, I'll tell you what I do. I said, but the church has a fax machine. He said, I have got it. He said, you know, this is amazing. He said, and I said, where are you? He said, I'm in Kettering, which is 100 miles from Woking. He said, my girlfriend, my new partner, she was sunbathing in Kettering, in the garden, lying out with, she'd rolled up a tummy, I think, shirt to get as much suntan as she possibly could on a midriff. Out of the sky, drops a shriveled balloon with a label onto her. It didn't land near her. It didn't land next to her. It landed on her. And she says to Chris, she goes, whoa, whoa, what's that, whoa, like this. And then she says, it said Coin Church Woking. So she said, didn't you used to live, Chris, in Woking? And he went, yeah. Now, they're all a bit surprised. So he goes, yeah. So he picks this thing up and he goes, Coin Church. I mean, I didn't go to that church, but I know that church. That's amazing. Well, I mean, it's amazing it landed on her for a start, but it came from Woking, where Chris used to live. And then they turned it over and it said, India Bunce. How many Bunces are there in Woking? I don't even know whether he knew I had an India, but he found out and he's ringing me up and he said, and I'm going, don't be ridiculous, it's in a tree. And he's going, no, it's not. Give me the fax number. So I give him the fax number. So next morning when I go to church, I can find the fax. It lands on him. I'm trying to get my head around this. 100 miles. It lands on my my brother-in-law's partner's stomach. Not near her, not next to her, on her. And I said to Chris, I think Jesus is on your case. And Chris said, I think he is too. I never spoke to him again. His alcoholism was such that he was so ill. I did hear one thing, though, and this is a few years later, that he'd moved down to Wiltshire. He was really ill by now. And we had some friends from the church that he and I had been before. We had both been at. He'd been a leader. And they were in this church in Wiltshire, a little village. And one day, Chris walked in. And Ed and Mary said, are you Chris Wells? I mean, he was really ill. And in his last days, he didn't live very long, only a few weeks. But he came to church. Even though he'd made a lot of bad choices, his life was apt. Salvation comes from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what are the chances? I mean, we're not talking millions to one. We're not even talking billions to one. The chances of that happening is because God is a God who will go to extreme lengths to save. He'll even send a fish into the sea. What an amazing God. And Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus, you are amazing. You're mighty to save. I wonder what you're doing right now in people around Truro that we're not aware of. Maybe our next door neighbour. What are you up to? You're mighty to save. We want to just be involved in everything that you, or things that you want us to be involved in, Jesus, as a church, as individuals. And the thing about Chris was that everyone had written him off. He'd written himself off. Jesus hadn't. There might be people that you've written off, that everyone else has written off, who've written themselves off, but Jesus hasn't. Because God doesn't bring salvation to the deserving, he brings salvation to the undeserving. Like us. As Matt said when he kicked off the season, Jonah is definitely not a good guy. He's definitely not the hero of the story. God alone is good. When asked to do something, when asked to go somewhere, Jonah runs off in the opposite direction. Jonah is disobedient. Jonah is stubborn. As we will see later on, he's racist. He's vindictive. Spoiler alert. He wants the Ninevites to suffer. Jonah is inconsistent. He's proud. Actually, in chapter 4, you get a feeling that Jonah reckons that God owes him something. He ain't got a good track record. But all those characteristics, you know, they're like, I sometimes see them in myself. Among the people of God, we're saved by grace. We don't deserve this. We never did. The book of Jonah is a story of God's mercy to sailors, to the ruthlessly cruel Ninevites, but especially to Jonah, the prophet, someone who is part of the people of God. You see, the problem Jonah has, because he's one of the people of God, I mean, he's willing to admit he doesn't get it always right, but I think actually he thinks he's one of the good guys. And he thinks the Ninevites, the bad guys. Somehow it crept into his heart that he was more deserving of God's mercy than them, those Ninevites. And it's so easy for us, as the people of God, people who are regular attenders of the church, to think we're kind of better than people out there. But we're not. We are objects of God's mercy. Maybe God is calling us to go to people who we think are less than us, but actually are not. Maybe God is calling us to go to people that we wouldn't really want to talk to. I mean, Jonah didn't want to go to the Ninevites. Maybe he's calling us to people of different political persuasion. People of a different class. People of a different colour or ethnicity. Maybe people that when we look at them, we just judge them by the way they look. I'm not going with him. I'm not going to speak to him. We wouldn't say it. But actually, we think we're better than that person. But we're not. Perhaps Jonah, like Jonah, God is calling it you. And us to people who naturally stay clear of and we'd rather not meet. Andrew, back in January, was preaching on Mark 6, and he said this, and I'm going to quote it word for word. It's brilliant. Here's something we can sometimes do as Christians. We read something challenging in the Bible and think, it's for that person over there. They really need to hear this. We hear a story about unbelief. We think, it's about my neighbour, or my dad, or my son, or daughter, who made a profession of faith years ago, but is no longer walking with Jesus. Here's where the story gets most uncomfortable. What if this story isn't for people out there, or even primarily for people out there, but for people in here? Those of us in this room, what if this story is for you and me? What if the story of Jonah's disobedience, rebellion, prejudice, etc., 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 is a warning for us? A warning for us, the people of God, who have been rescued entirely due to the mercy of God. It's a warning for us and a reminder that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. If we think, I'll tell you what, if you think that you're saved because you were slightly better than the person, you won't worship God like someone who knows he's completely didn't deserve it at all. Because you know 100% it came from him. And it did. 100%. I'm saved, not because I'm better than anyone else, because he had mercy on me. And that's true for every single one of us. And that means all the glory goes to him. I can't take any of the credit. I don't deserve it. But I'm seated with him in the heavenly places, not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus did. 100%, not 99.9, 100% it was Jesus, his mercy to me. What a gospel. What a gospel. That means we don't go out there sort of telling people that we, you know, how to live their lives and do that sort of stuff. We come with humility and we say, if God can save us, he could, I tell you what, he could even save you. Do you know what I mean? Because we are, I mean, he's just done this amazing thing in my life. He's given me eternal hope. I'm no better than you, but God has stepped into my life. I would encourage you to call out to the Lord because he will answer. That has to be the attitude of this church as we mix and meet and share the gospel with people in Truro. Don't let us come over with any sense of high-mindedness and we're slightly better than you. Because it's nothing to do with that. Are you with me on that? I just feel, and sorry, as I was preparing, I just feel like God just wants to say this to one or two people here. So this is, I feel like a specific word for one or two. I'm calling you to reach out to someone who's hurt you. There are people who've been in this room who've been hurt. And you know who did it. And you've decided to withdraw from them. You have bad feelings towards them. But I'm calling you, Jesus, I'm calling you to reach out to someone who's hurt you. Now, some of you will know that's for you. And maybe you're going to have to get on the phone this week or send a text or go and see the person. Because the motivation is the mercy of God that he's displayed to you. As usual, I'm miles behind on the clicking. So as I close, and we're going to go back into worship in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God has said to you this morning. Now, perhaps someone's here who's never called out to God. You've never called out to God. Until now, you would never consider yourself a Christian. You know you've messed up. You know you're unworthy. But today you've realized, maybe for the first time, he loves you. Me? He loves you. He really loves you. And today, for the first time in your life, you can call out to the Lord. And he will hear your cry. That's a promise from God. Isn't that amazing? So if you're not a Christian, you could walk out a Christian today, knowing that God's heard your cry. So you can respond in a minute in that way. Maybe some of you are in distress. Life is really, really hard at the moment. Maybe you're even tempted to run away rather than run to. In your distress, cry out to the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond as well. Perhaps for somebody here like Jonah, who's living with the consequences of some poor choices that they made in the past. I mean, you know, the fish, sovereignly sent by God. It was the fish, 3 days and three nights in a fish, that brought him to his senses. And maybe God wants to bring you to your senses today. Perhaps until this morning, some of you felt like just giving it up. I've just done this thing. It's just, don't want to do it anymore. But you know you can't run away from Jesus. You can't run away from him. Chris ran away from him, but God pursued him when no one else did. Sovereignly. Apart from India letting go of a balloon, pretty much no human had any part to play in it. It was God. And it was an astonishingly billion to billion to one miracle that he did, because he just wants Chris to know, I've still got you. Isn't God good? Perhaps some of you are acutely aware you are unworthy and undeserving, but you can come to the God of grace, of infinite mercy. What a great God. I mean, isn't the gospel like unbelievably good? God goes to great lengths to save us. He sends a balloon to Chris. He sends a fish to Jonah. But do you realize he went further for you and me? He came down from heaven. He became a man. He sacrificed his life on the cross. He was despised, rejected by men. His friends rejected him. That's more than a balloon and a fish. And he did that for you and me. That's what God does. He takes action. He is a mighty God who saves. Salvation comes from the Lord. Isn't it amazing? He died on a cross and he miraculously rose from the dead for us. Jesus saves undeserving sinners like us. Hallelujah! Salvation comes from the Lord. Verse 2, I called for help and you listened to me. Can I have the band up? Let's have a moment for just quiet. What has Jesus said to you? He might have said something to you which he hasn't said to anybody else, but what has he said to you, and how are you going to respond? As we sing this song, we're actually going to make some space in the front if we need it. If anyone wants to come forward. Oh. Well, it doesn't mean I was on time. Sorry about that. You might just need to do business with Jesus this morning, and you can come forward to the front. And you might just need to be on your own. Well, there'll be some space. You can sit down at the side. We can be messy a bit, whatever. As we worship, you might need to get out of your seat and come up the front. And it might be the first time you've ever called out to the Lord. But just do it in your own words. You don't have to have special words. I've messed up is good enough. I need you is good enough. Forgive me is good enough. And as we sing this song, and we might, I don't know what will happen now, let's just be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say, collectively as well as individually.